Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, if I can put it in a different context, I will. As I look through the news pages, I look out my window, I am looking for a sign that something's changed, that we're going to actually get our Constitution back. And guess what? It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen on its own. It's not going to fall out of the trees or land in your lap. You know, when we were PT'ing in boot camp and throughout the Marine Corps, there's always this little saying, ain't no point in looking down, there ain't no discharge on the ground. Because, you know, when you're suffering and dying because they're killing you with all this PT in the Marine Corps, you know, a lot of people were going, oh, I got to get out of this. Where's that discharge? And it's really more of a metaphorical, you know, context. But the point is that if we expect anything to happen, it won't happen unless we do something about it. Now, there's no doubt in my mind, we can perform miracles, not that we will perform the miracle, but we become the medium. We become the medium in God's miracles, bringing about the change we need, we desire, that He wills us to have. This is why I say you have to start exercising faith. You have to start actually stepping in and stepping up to the plate with the bat in your hands and be prepared to swing when that ball comes. There are some basic tenets that you need to have. It's, you know, it's baseball season, right? So there's some basic tenets that you have to apply. You want to hold that bat up. You want to hold it off of you. You want to, you know, get that elbow, the back elbow up. Keep your eye on the ball and watch the ball as it comes across the plate for you to make contact. You know, with some of the biggest mistakes guys make is they look generally and they don't watch that ball coming in. Zoom. And as you're watching that ball, if you keep eye on that ball, you will have a higher chance of connecting with it, and you'll have a higher chance of connecting with it the way you want to connect with it in driving it in the direction you want it to drive. So you have a huge part in watching this country implode and be destroyed. Even though the architects and those who are executing it may not be a lot of people, they may be just our government and the evildoers that are trying to destroy us. But the fact of the matter is, my friends, you're a part of it unless you're a part of the solution. Because if you're just standing there with your hands in your army gloves, that's what we used to call your pockets in the Marine Corps, then you're guilty. You're guilty of not contributing and being a part of the solution, which means you are a part of the problem. So with that, let me just kind of go through, because I don't want to spend a lot of time. There's just a lot of content to go through. And actually, something fell in my lap. I'm going to read a little story about something, because I've said this metaphorically before in a make-believe type of thing regarding, you know, Picasso's and Mona Lisa's and so forth. But I want to provide you something that's just happened in the news that actually supports what I'm telling you. And it supports precisely what I've been telling you. And, oh, by the way, today is the 91st. Forgive me. I need to slow down. I know as I rush, I start speaking in sentence fragments, and I can get a lot of stuff out there. I probably could do pretty decently if I just practiced a little bit in doing that legal copy. You know, the thing that those guys say really fast at the end of a commercial. You know, I probably could do that. I could probably make a living out of doing that, but I don't like doing that. I'm in a rush to try to get this stuff done. So let's get it done cleanly so that you can be fire hosed without having to hear me either stutter, change directions, and so forth. So as you know, we just listened to Patricia Kent. We're going to be talking to Judge Nally coming up. And that's right before we get into common law. And as I kind of told you in the last episode, when we're going to do that, there may be opportunities where we can sit down and interview some of these politicians, some of these great constitutional, there are good constitutional champions out there. what we have to do is we've got to get them on board with, you know, this whole agenda. Because 9 times out of 10, everybody agrees, but they just don't, they don't get their arms around the solutions. They say these are problems. Educated, this problem. But they don't understand how to solve these things. Or maybe they just haven't been able to get out of their box. And that has a lot to do with our education system. So with that, as you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Have you purchased your one-year subscription from the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle? Forgive me. I say what I want to say, right? Anyway, check it out. And as a matter of fact, I'm reaching out to see if I could talk to the owner. I've kind of reached out in Facebook space, and I hate really intruding in people's lives because I know they're very busy. And so what I'd love to do is I'd love to talk to them on Skype to talk about what they had to do, why they did what they did, what they had to do, so that I could help you if you're interested in doing something similar in your state to actually start bringing some of this. And actually, I think it'd be great if this became a collective effort so that this actually became a little bit more and a little bit larger of an effort to do all of this. It may, you know, it may, sometimes it's really hard to do just due to the content differences. 9 times out of 10, it's harder for publishing and the papers and so forth to do a more of a collective effort than it is to actually, you know, have your own spin, control, product, look, feel, touch, anyway. So as I have said, I got these obligatories, and these aren't really obligatories. It is a privilege and an honor to endorse these people and these products. The first one is Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. Please, if you're looking to finally get on top of your finances and become, you know, financially independent and in control, give him a call. Give my old and good friend Gary Smith a call. The other product that we want to endorse today is RadioDustCovers.com. RadioDustCovers.com is where you can get your quality products that you buy for yourself, your electronics, your computers, some of these types of things. You can actually get covers for them so that, you know, when you are operating your computer, some people, you know, turn their computer off because they travel a lot and it just sits there. And as it just sits there, it just allows the dust and the smoke and or any dander, that type of crud, to get into it. Get a dust cover. Keep your equipment as clean and unexposed to the environment as much as possible. When you turn it on, you have, because there's fans and these types of things to suck it in. But why allow it to just, you know, continually get more dust and so forth? Anyway, let me just move forward and dive into the fact that we've got our comment line, 425-270-5416. We've already kind of talked about the content that we're going to cover. So what I really want to cover before I get into that content is this document that I got. This is a little story, and I don't know who published it. Don't necessarily know who's wrong, but this goes straight into context of property and property rights. As I have told you and told you and told you, just like Rosanna Dana's father always told her, right? When you own something, just because you lose it, just because somebody steals it from you, it doesn't mean that it's theirs. The only way somebody can take true ownership, you know, some things they just don't, we don't bother with creating titles because, I mean, would you really be willing to pay the cost of government involvement in titling everything? I mean, cars are kind of expensive. Vehicles are expensive. So we title those things because then it's not something that can be stolen and taken away from you because that VIN number is registered. So it makes it really hard for somebody to to steal your property and actually and successfully own it for the rest of their lives. Now, there are certain things that are out there that, you know, we kind of stumble across. And I used to tell the story of, you know, buying some cruddy, you know, painting or something in, you know, somebody's attic that they're having a yard sale, and you buy it for $12, and lo and behold, you take this thing apart, you pull the frame off, and underneath the actual painting is another painting, and it's a Picasso, it's a Van Gogh, it's a Da Vinci, and you go, oh my gosh, I've got a Da Vinci. Well, actually, you don't. Because every single one of those has been accounted for as far as ownership, especially these classic works. So when you actually get a painting, 9 times out of 10, either the artist keeps track of it or somebody keeps track of it. I keep track of the books I sell. Believe it or not, I got a spreadsheet of all the people who bought my books because there's not that many, but that's not the point. I think it's important to understand those people who've actually, you know, extended themselves and have that in their possession or what have you. It's not that that book is that important to me or the world. Actually, it is, but I always downplay these things. I try to use self-effacing tactics to try to maintain humility. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, when you find this Picasso, you find this piece of art, well, there is a rightful owner to it. And so some people understand this. Sometimes it's not necessarily a titled transfer. I'll give you a good example when we come back from the break, because I remember when in the 80s I'd heard about a yard sale where somebody sold a rock, and come to find out it became the world's largest tiger's eye. Is that sapphire, tiger's eye? Anyway, I'll look it up when we go on the break to tell you what type of gemstone that is. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so in California, or when I was in California, I don't think it was there, but when I was in there in the Marine Corps, there was this kid. Actually, it wasn't a kid. It was a kid selling it, but it was a man that came up, and he kind of understood rocks. He looked at rocks, he saw the value of rocks, and he realized that this rock, it was a good-sized rock. I don't know if it was the largest. I think somebody may have, you know, kind of embellished a little bit and said, yeah, that's the largest of tiger's eye stone in the world. Don't know about that. But I do know that a guy came in and he said, I'll give you $12, or something like that, for the stone. And the kid, wow, I got, you know, $12 for a rock. That's great. Come to find out, because he lived in the neighborhood,
you know, he went and had it polished, and now this thing was worth thousands of dollars. And so everybody felt he took advantage of the kid, and this is terrible. And the, but bottom line, the kid didn't have any problems with it. And if the kid didn't realize its own value, the intrinsic value, he could have, you know, he could have kicked that rock around and could have stayed in the backyard. And it would never have come to its full potential. Just because this guy did this, he became, you know, he became this terrible person in the community. I'm going, wow, it's not like there was a title that he stole. Or he stole this property. He gave this kid what, you know, not necessarily a fair market price, but he gave the kid a good price, something he didn't think he could refuse, because he probably knew that it wasn't one of those things. And if you ever talk to a gemologist, they'll all tell you stories like this. We had a neighbor that lived here, and he was very into and had, you know, you should see these displays of the, look like a rock on the outside, and you cut it in half, and next thing you know, you see all of these different gems inside there, amethyst or what have you. You're going, wow, that's pretty cool. But nevertheless, in this story I'm going to read to you, this is about a priceless relic. And so I'm just going to read it to you. Goodwill, supposedly this is a true story, Goodwill sold a 52-pound marble bust for $35. It's a priceless ancient Roman relic. After taking the bust home, strapped in a seatbelt in the front car of her seat, she contacted some lady, I don't know, or maybe it's Laura Young, I don't know. Anyway, we'll just stumble through this together and find out who this was. Anyway, she contacted two auction houses, Bonhams and Sotheby's, both of which confirmed her hunch was right. The bust was from ancient Rome. The New York Times, Laura Jones, was browsing through a Goodwill store in Austin, Texas, so I guess that's her name, in 2018, when she found a bust for sale. It was resting on the floor under a table and had a yellow price tag slapped on its cheek, $35. She bought it. Turns out it wasn't just another heavy stone curio suitable for plunking in the garden. It was an actual Roman bust from the late 1st century B.C. or early 1st century A.D., which had been a part of a Bavarian king's art collection from the 19th century until it was looted during World War II. How it got to Texas remains a mystery, but the most likely path suggests it was taken by an American soldier after the Bavarian king's villa in Germany was bombed by Allied forces. This week, it went on display in the San Antonio Museum of Art, next to signage acknowledging Young's role in the improbable 2,000-year journey from Rome to the Goodwill Boutique on Far West Boulevard. Next year, it will be returned to the Bavarian government under an agreement with Young that ended her own complex relationship with an ancient artifact, which she had kept on a credenza in her living room for the last 3.5 years. When Young, a dealer of antique and vintage goods, first spotted the bust, she knew it was probably valuable. I got it right in the light. And she said it had chips at the base, had clear repairs. It looks old. I've been to museums. I've seen Roman portraits, heads and stuff before. So she did this search on Google and the Roman bust and realized that it looked a lot like a guy. Subsequent research confirmed Young that would not be able to sell the piece. At some point before 1833, this person was Pompeian, his replica of the Roman villa in Pompeii, in the Bavarian town of Aschaffenburg. And Pompeian, and you know me with names, so I'm struggling here, was heavily damaged by Allied bombing in 1944 and 1945. And although some of its objects survived, others disappeared. It is likely an American service member who either stole it or traded for it after the war. That meant Young was not the rightful owner because Germany had never... Now, this is the part you have to understand that I'm going to connect the dots for you. Germany had never sold the piece or abandoned the title to it. Now, if it was a German government person or whether it was a private person, it doesn't matter. When you've paid for something and you've had title or you have proof that that piece of art or that work is yours, then somebody has to come along and say, hey, I've got the deed, I've got the title for this land or for this property, and if it's fraudulent, they don't get to keep it. It'll come right down to who the rightful owner is, okay? Goodwill was also unable to provide answers about the bust's origin. The bust is believed to portray either the son of Pompey the Great, or who was defeated in battle by Julius Caesar, or Nero Claudius Drusus Germanicus, whatever, a Roman commander whose forces once occupied the German territory. So in other words, this piece of art is sitting in Austin, I think it's, San Antonio, in a museum piece, and it's sitting there for the next year with a little piece of, you know, work next to it saying that this gal found it and she's doing the good thing by sending it back to Germany. So it's credentials for her, right? Which is good. It's applaudable. She's doing the right thing. Well, the fact is, folks, when I tell you, when Madison told you, and this is why we read his essay on property. What is your property? You have rights to your property, your intellectual property, your precious thoughts, how you feel about things. These things are your most precious property that you possess. So when all of a sudden you have, and as Madison also stated, that we've gone through this just recently, that you not only have rights in your property, you have property in your rights. So when you have the right of religious expression, that's your property. Nobody can take it from you. It's an inalienable right. So when somebody comes along like the government and they say you can't do that, my friends, they have just stolen your property just as much as this piece of art was stolen. But stolen by somebody that may have traded it to an American or an American soldier or what have you that stole it. Doesn't matter. Somebody that had it, that didn't have any claim to it, handed it off to somebody else and handed it off to somebody else. And the fact of the matter is, I really don't believe that the American that had it actually understood, or whoever brought it here, you know, understood its value. And I say this because I'll give you a case in point. In my parents' estate, we had ivory. My grandmother purchased ivory back in, I want to say, the late 50s, around the time when, you know, the grandkids were popping into life, and she had these two busts that were made of ivory. Because she purchased those then, they're legitimate and they're legal. Now, today, there are states that are passing laws that say you can't even possess that. Guess what, folks? They can't do that. That's your property. That's an ex post facto law. By basically coming along and saying any kind of property like this, that this is a bill of attainder and punishment. By creating a law that says, if you own this kind of property, you can't have it anymore. We're going to confiscate it or we'll arrest you. Most of the states have got, you know what, we can't do that because, you know, this is a bill of attainder and punishment. So we'll have to put a little grandfather clause that you have to prove that was in your estate. That was a part of the property. And so we had to go through my parents' friends and so forth to get basically sworn testimony to the fact that these things, this ivory and this other work, had been actually in the family long before these things were outlawed. Why do we have to do these things? Well, so government shouldn't actually be creating these kind of laws. But what we can do and what we should do is we should actually try to create laws that allow us to, you know, to rise up, to get onto the high road and allow us to be enlightened society. One of the things, and I'll just, instead of going down to hunting and that type of path, I'll just talk about drinking. There is really all sorts of great reasons for people to tie one on, to get drunk and so forth, just to release steam. There are other ways of releasing steam. And there seems to be a lot of money in this particular way of releasing steam. And my point is this, is that It doesn't benefit you. I've never met a person that's drank so much when they've have, you know, a hangover or they've had the ramifications of drinking too much. I've never heard that person say, boy, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. As a matter of fact, it's, I'm dying, you know, shoot me, that kind of stuff, because they're really suffering because they overdid it. When you start looking at the health over time of a person that continues to drink and continues to do those things like David Crosby, who just came up this past weekend, you just destroy your liver. Why is it when somebody does something to themselves, why is it that they're going to be privileged to, I mean, it's one thing to live a lifestyle where you destroy your liver. You shouldn't have the privilege of being able to get an organ transplant to replace that liver. Sorry. We shouldn't allow those types of things. It's not to be cruel. It is absolutely to make sure that those people who didn't do these things to themselves have the benefit first. Anyway, we're going to be right back because David Crosby cut the line, and you need to know this. We'll be right back.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
So in David Crosby's case, just trying to wrap up these things as we get into the real content. In his particular case, here's a guy that, you know, lived a riotous life. And so when everybody is all of a sudden faced with their mortality, they go through a change. Oh, I'm really sorry. I, you know what? The empirical data was out there, Dave, while you were doing that. And so there are consequences to that behavior. And so you have to acknowledge the fact that your entitlement to be able to receive that shouldn't supersede those people who all of a sudden, you know, not because of their own behavior, but because some other circumstance caused them, like, you know, a bad medicine went, you know, awry and destroyed their liver or something like that. Go watch an episode of House and how many times livers get destroyed just there in the hospital. Fact is that there are legitimate reasons why people really need to get these livers and these types of organ transplants. And when you have somebody that had, because they have the affluence and they have the money, they can get themselves into that line. Is that right? Well, some people, why isn't it right?
because you're putting yourself and your needs because of your behavior above somebody else that didn't go through that. I think it's, you know, I think it's reprehensible, especially if that liver could have gone to somebody else that was more, and I hate to use these terms, more deserving, but there is, as far as I'm concerned, there needs to be some level of, you know, holding people, because until we start holding people accountable, I got into this conversation over the past week about accountability, and it was actually with a good friend in Georgia, and we were talking about, you know, holding people accountable. You shouldn't, you know, it's not right that you hold them economically accountable. I think that until we start doing that and people don't understand the magnitude, I mean, it's one thing for somebody to be truly contrite, but when they actually are slapped with the absolute burden of something so that they know the cost of what they did. And I'll give you a case in point, because I can tell you Al Sharpton doesn't care. When Al Sharpton took a group of people out onto the 91 freeway in Southern California and shut down traffic in both directions, Al Sharpton reveled because he impacted and it cost him nothing. They should have gone to jail, and all of the people and the labor that was wasted, because this was in the middle of the day, on a work day. People that were on that road were deliverers, people that were, you know, were on the clock and what have you. And the economic cost of shutting down that one freeway, because if you understand and you live in a very, you know, dense or populated city, when the freeway that goes through your area gets bogged down and everybody's forced out onto the streets to bypass the area, it just becomes unmanageable. You get stuck, and some of those people, because they're in between exits or so forth, they're just stuck for hours, to not at their own fault, because there's some good words for Sharpton and those people to do those things. These entitled, petulant people that want to get out into, you know, your face and, you know, do these things, if they're held accountable, they won't do it again. And when people look at, wow, man, that's millions of dollars he got fined. How much do you think that cost if you shut down? Because I'll have to go look, but I know it was more than an hour. And when you're talking about that many people and rerouting and everything else, even 10, 15, 30 minutes, folks, 6 minutes is billable. It is 1/10 of an hour of wages. So anybody that, you know, is impacted for 6 minutes because they had to wait and they're on the clock, those employers should actually be able to sue Sharpton and his organization. Everybody should have been able to do that. As a matter of fact, I honestly, because you've heard me rail about this in the wintertime when we have idiots going up into the mountains with improper tires and improper equipment on their car, that they slide off the road and they, you know, cause this outage. Now, if they cause an outage that literally requires the shutting down of the road, I think they ought to be slapped with the impact, that cost and that impact. And so they either have to, you know, work through that, or they go into bankruptcy. And if they go into bankruptcy, and this is where the, you know, I don't want to say we argued, but I think sometimes we see things differently. I believe we need to bring back bankruptcy, not bankruptcy court, but bankruptcy prison. I believe that when people do something with such callous and such disregard that, you know, they'll just do it again. I have known people that have just gone into bankruptcy and bankruptcy and bankruptcy, you know, because they're, well, you know, it doesn't hurt me. It's not a real stab in my back or, you know, any real pain. You know, I lose things and ha, 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 ha. I just brush it off and I'll try it again. And maybe the next time I'll get away with it or I'll get rich. You know what I'm saying? And so until there's consequences for our actions and accountability, then we're going to continually see our society spiral down into basement or going into debauchery because, you know, hey, what are the consequences, folks? Let's go out and do these things. Anyway, my apologies for going through this, but the whole point of connecting these dots with this museum or this bust that this gal found, somebody has the title to it, just like you have the title to your own right of religious worship and expression, just like your right of speech, your right of commerce. These rights that are protected, your inalienable rights, that is your property. And when government takes them, they have no way to defend themselves because you own the title. Just because government comes along and says, oh, well, we can do these things, they're just lying and justifying something that they had no right to do. Because this is why this nation was built and it was codified into the Constitution, that Congress shall make no law abridging the people's right to petition government for the redress of grievances. That's just one of the many. They cannot make any law that abridges your right of religious expression, so forth and so on. So if they make a law, if they do something that encumbers you, that keeps you from being able to do these things, they are stealing your property. And we have to hold them accountable for this. And the way to do that is with these petitions. So getting back to this parallel process and getting back to getting as many counties started, kick-started, so that you can start to, once you have a petition or two and you're working with us, you should be, because we're not asking you to do this on your own. Work with us. We will be able to share your petition and everybody else's petitions with you. This way you can turn right around. And when you're sitting at that table, you're not going to have just one petition that you labored over. You're going to have 10 or 15 petitions that we've all kind of worked and helped make better. Because as more people's eyes see this and go, oh, yeah, okay, we need to clean this up. We need to change this word. It will get, these things will become rock solid. One of the things you want to do is when you have people sign this petition, you want to let them know that there may be some minor alterations in the wording of the petition, you know, from what they are signing to some change. And so you want to afford them, just let them know that, hey, you have a right to request the removal of your signature on this petition if you feel the changes have been substantial enough that you won't support it anymore. And that then you're done. And you just make sure, this is why you need a website, and you need to be able to put these petitions up so that people can see what the original petition was and what it is now. So, okay, yeah, the spirit is there, you know, the letter of the law, you just added a few more things. Yeah, that's good. We love it. But give people the opportunity to understand that this is not, you know, it's not chiseled in stone at this point in time as you're doing this. We don't have the time to wait to change happies to glads and make everything happy. What we have is the spirit, the idea, and we have very little time to start moving forward so that we can start swinging the bat and hitting the balls out of the park. And so this is why we're trying to help you expedite and help you get started in taking back your county. Now, we do have quite a bit of buy-in, as you've heard last week when we had Paul Venable, actually it was a week ago, when we had Paul Venable talk about he wants to get out there, he wants to be the champion for getting rid of the Biden administration, all these other petitions and all this movement. Folks, if we have other candidates nationwide joining this movement, it expands the dialogue into the, you know, the homes of all Americans. That is the ideal situation. We want every American between now and the election to go, wow, I never realized this Electoral College thing is so screwed up. I never realized that we're not even following it. But more importantly, the 2020 election is an illegitimate election, the way Congress chose to execute it. Because once the unconstitutionally formed Electoral College was submitted to them with their votes, they should have rejected it. They had no choice. But bottom line, they created, and we want to make them own this. We want to make them accountable because America loves it when we hold people accountable. They did this survey, regarding work and the work environment. And most people, the number one complaint in the work environment was the employer did not hold their people accountable. When somebody did something bad, with bad behavior, what have you, most of the employees felt sided because they were biased on this concept that these guys get away with and I don't. They never feel like accountability goes in all directions, and that's what they want. They want people to be accountable. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I think we've kind of really covered a lot of stuff that I hopefully connect all the dots as I've given you some peripheral view regarding property and regarding the importance of actually petitioning for our property back, because what they're doing, they don't have a right to do. What we need them to do is we need them to abide by the Constitution. Now, one of the last things we covered was the right of conscience. So what we now want to cover, and we're just going to recover what we already did because we just barely started touching this, was state property and state resources. Let me be clear what I mean by this. State property and state resources are all of the things that occur within the state and or possessed within that state boundaries. And what I mean by this is as the boundary goes around the state, all land in there is technically state land, except for those parts of land. As far as overall governance for the general government of the state, it's state land. Each state is divided and subdivided into counties. And it basically are the people of those counties kind of create that state. I want to be clear. Most people don't understand this. What I just said is before the state gets created, the territory of that state has counties. And those counties where there's sheriff and that type of, you know, structure and government kind of operates and moves forward until you finally meet the criteria of becoming a state, then you create your state. In many ways, the state and the forming of the state in the mid to late 1800s, the language that was used in those state constitutions is unconstitutional. I was just reading the Montana Constitution. I've read the Wyoming Constitution. Haven't done the Idaho yet, but as I go through these, I'm not surprised to find that these late states into the Union that came in the late 1800s or after 1850, that they had language that was a violation of the Constitution. Why? Because the federal government started injecting or basically telling these states that you are subjugated to us. This, you're not coming in as an equal-footed partner or party in this union. We're your superior, unlike every other state. And they don't have the authority to do that. Remember, I keep saying this. You need to keep this in your head, that enumerated powers are right there. If it's not enumerated, and they're trying to exert a power like marginalizing the sovereignty of a state, they don't have the authority. Do you understand what I just said? They don't have the authority to say that those minerals under the ground of your state are not yours. They can't say that. That's not an enumerated power. They can't tell you that these hills over here with these trees on it, that's theirs. That's their forest. That's their resource. No, they can't do it. The government is so, the federal government is supposed to be so small that it's not supposed to be encumbering or intrusive into the everyday lives of the people in the states. And yet it involves itself in every facet of our lives. From the paper that we buy through the mill process, from timber into paper and the other products, to plumbing, to to everything we do, folks. Excuse me. You need to understand that we have the upper hand because the Constitution supports us. It doesn't support them. Unless it's enumerated, then it supports them. But if it doesn't, and it's not enumerated, it does not support them. So when we start looking at state property and resources, these things have to be recognized as literally that, a resource. So when a state basically has all these different businesses, whether they be agricultural, whether they be timber, forestry, and as a matter of fact, if the state, if there is forests in the state and the state says, you know, we want to own those because we want to manage those, then what they would do is they would subcontract out to Weyerhaeuser or somebody else to come in and cut the trees down and replant new trees to kind of do the cleanup, you know, the garbage removal and do some. This is how we avoid forest fires. This is why our forest fires were hardly, we hardly had any forest fires prior to the 1980s. Why? Because we had businesses that were doing an excellent job in maintaining and managing our forests. Because it was in their best interest to do that. They were harvesting the wood and making it available. The more government got involved, the higher the cost of wood and wood products started getting. This is why Socialist Canada to the north of us started being able to compete in the lumber market against the United States. Not because they didn't have more government. Government subsidized them or basically helped discount them so that they could actually provide a cheaper product. And why did they do that? Because we allowed them to do that. Because as we regulated them, we just raised taxes. We just kept raising taxes. That's been the progressive motto in America. So as we look at state property and property rights, one of the things I've said, and I think this was my only comment I made, was we really need to consider the amending process to the state's constitutions to establish very specifically farm and agricultural land as a strategic resource of the state, or not a strategic resource. In other words, the states need to start looking at what they have and their resources and what they would consider strategic. One of the things I also told you about was the CCC, which was the Commodity Something Commission, which basically is the national controlling of silage, food, and so forth for food supply. The federal government has no role, responsibility, or power or property in doing any of that. The states need to step up and do that. And this is why I suggest that the states actually start considering what their strategic interests are. And as they start working amongst the other states, they can start sharing, well, we can't produce these types of fruits and these types of grains, but we can produce these other ones. And what we want to do, because we believe a balanced diet is important, you know, as we siphon off out of the production of all of this to take care of our own people, we would like to exchange some of this with you so that we can get what we need for, you know, our emergency times and in times of emergency so we can actually feed our own people. This was actually brought up, it was kind of fascinating. If you go through the Bible and what happened in Egypt when the famine came, everybody basically had to surrender their full sovereignty just so that they could survive. We do not want to see that in America, because if it's a government for the people and by the people, we shouldn't be surrendering ourselves to ourselves. It's antithetical. So how do we actually govern ourselves better? How can we get our government to govern us better and more independently and more freely and more liberally so that we can actually have what we need when we need it and be able to do the things we need when we need to? And we can actually do this. We can actually butter our bread on all the sides, but we have to work together. We have to be reasonable in this process, folks. So states need to start abandoning this thing. The CCC is the Commodity Credit Corporation. That's what it is. So the Commodity Credit Corporation needs to be abandoned, and each state needs to establish their own food silage, food storage program, as well as energy storage for their citizens in case of emergency. One of the things I do talk about, and I talk about this with NDAs, with very specific people that I, you know, have a high level of trust with, we get into the infrastructure and how we can actually shift our paradigm in moving our energy into the 22nd century, the way it needs to be, because the way we're paying for energy today, we're going broke. We're going broke because they're getting away with siphoning off more and more and more. These public utilities that are charging for profit and then paying their executives these incredible millions of dollar bonuses every year that go out to these local, small local public utilities. Are you kidding me? As far as I'm concerned, that is just, what do you want to call it when you have that level of corruption? Something that was created by the people for the people. This concept of public utilities, and now we've got these CEOs and so many people that are employed that are, I don't mind people working hard and making an honest living, but when they get bonuses, millions of dollars of bonus by actually raising rates and being able to get the ability to make more profit, who are they profiting from? They're profiting on our backs. There once was a time, and I just had this conversation with Douglas V. Gibbs. There once was a time, hundreds of years ago, where the average person spent a certain part of their day working on energy production and or gathering, whether that was chopping woods, making candles for light at night. These things are necessary for being productive because we have to have energy to heat ourselves, have energy to cool ourselves, have energy to feed ourselves. We need energy to survive. And so part of that process of cooking food and those types of things is going out and getting the fuel or what have you, whether that be wood or coal. Well, the fact is, back in those days, it was a certain portion of your time out of the day. Today, with the increase in cost of energy, it is becoming a primary driver in consuming your disposable income, folks. We shouldn't be in this position. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.